Well, greetings to you once again in Jesus' name, and thank you for calling in. And I trust that, as I say often, that God will truly give you a daily inspiration as you look to His Word. And it doesn't have to come over this telephone line. It comes from God's Word. These are just little encouragements to take steps to having your own inspiration with God in His Word. And that's where we'll truly find it. We had previously talked about the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25, and I'd like to carry on with that just a little bit. If you didn't hear the message prior to this one, we read about the 10 virgins that were waiting for the bridegroom. This is a story that I believe relates to the church, those people that are waiting on God for the redemption of all of mankind, those that will confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And so we read about these 10 virgins that Jesus gave a story about. He said 5 were wise and 5 were foolish, and that it had to do with the preparation that they made. They had oil. 5 of them had extra oil. 5 of them did not have enough oil, just what was in their lamps. And you can read that in Matthew 25, and I encourage you to do so. But I'd like to just take off from there again, and I want to just continue with some points that we find in this story. And I'm sure there's more, but I see that these are at least the obvious ones. And so I'll begin here that all were undefiled. All 10 of these virgins were undefiled. That's why they were virgins. They had not been with a man. They were not soiled because they obviously weren't married. They're waiting for the bridegroom. And in that waiting, they kept themselves for the bridegroom. I think this is a very, very important thing to consider as we as the church, as we as the people that are looking to God for salvation, looking to God to be joined to Him in a marriage, a union between God and man. Jesus is using this as an analogy to help us to see things. Well, all ten virgins were definitely, they were. That's the whole idea of the name virgin. They were pure, undefiled, at least to have not been with a man before marriage. And I also think that this represents God's church, the people, those that, as I said, are waiting for Messiah, waiting for the redemption to be completed. There's an anticipation. This is going to really happen. That's what was represented here. They all must have believed it. They were all there. I believe that another lesson that we can see out of this, another point to consider, is that these ladies, all 10 of them, must have had a deliberate, intentional desire to be chaste and keep their virginity. I know that things back in those days, as we said, this was 2,000 years ago, but the problem was still the same then as it is now. Today, maybe it's a little more freely accepted, but for a woman to be a virgin when she gets married, that doesn't happen accidentally. There must be intention, and there must be desire to keep pure in that way. And I see that in our culture, and I think it was very similar back then, this was not just a huge exception for them. There were certainly people that were deliberately keeping their virginity, but there were some that didn't. It was part of the story here. I think it's on purpose. You have to have determination. You have to be sincere, and you have to have a desire to keep yourself from that. And that just brings us to another scripture that I'd like to read here out of James, and I know you'll be familiar with this one as well, but listen here. It's interesting. James chapter 1, verse 26 says, "If any man among you seems to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart. This man's religion is vain. So he's talking about religious people, those that seem to be religious, he said. But if you can't control your tongue, if you can't let God have that, but you deceive your own heart, says this man's religion is vain. It's worthless. It has no value. Religion in its own sense, on its own, yeah, there's all kinds of religions, as you know. But let's read on. Verse 27 says, pure religion. Now, we're going to pull out of all the religions of the world, he's going to come in and hone in on one. Pure religion. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. And that's what I'm talking about here in these chaste virgins here. They were deliberate. They kept themselves unspotted from the world. I think that's a parallel that we can see here. They were on purpose. And you know, as well as I do, it's easy to get spotted by this world. It's easy to start taking on the world's character and the world's ideas. We have to go to God's Word to remind us, hey, that's not what God's wanting. He wants us to be careful, be deliberate, and he wants us to be disciples of Jesus Christ. And disciple is a student. You're learning from your teacher. That would be the Lord Jesus, and God established that. As I look at this, I see that there are some things in what we would call the modern-day church. There's tradition, and there's heritage. Many people can go back and say, well, my forefathers have done this way for many, many, many years. And some can count back further than others. But the idea here is that we have a heritage. We have a line of people that were deliberately following God and his word. And there was traditions. And that's good. All that is very good. But we must be careful. You remember we talked about the virgins that brought extra oil. And they were asked by the ones that didn't bring extra oil, the ones that had no oil, said, give us of your oil because we're running out. Our lamps are going out. And you remember the wise virgin said, no, you have to go and buy your oil, because if we give you some of ours, we'll all run out. Everybody will run out. You have to own it, as I mentioned before. This has to be yours. If we rely on the traditions handed down to us by our forefathers only, we'll be in trouble. If we rely on our godly heritage, we'll lose our way. You have to rely solely and strictly on Jesus Christ. You have to own your Christianity. You can't go on the coattails of somebody else. It has to be yours. It has to be a personal thing between you and God. It can't be something that Grandpa did, so I'm okay. Or great-grandpa, or whoever. You can have all kinds of lineage there that has got good reputation. But you must be careful. This has to be yours. What you're walking in today, you have to own it. It's got to be personal. And I think that's one of the things this parable is bringing out, that Jesus is showing us. You can't rely on somebody else. You have to rely on God to give you a personal relationship with him through Jesus Christ. Remember what the answer is to those that came. They came back after they bought oil, the five foolish. And they said, Lord, open to us. Lord, Lord, answer to us. But listen what he answered. He answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. You see how the relationship comes into play right here. It doesn't matter if you have five generations or 10 or 20 in your family that truly sought after God, truly had lamps burning and oil in their vessels. You have to have it yourself. You can't depend on somebody else. This has to be a relationship between you and God through Jesus Christ. You see that all through the Bible. And so I will encourage you today, don't ride on somebody else's faith. You can be encouraged by that, but you have to have your own. You have to have a personal relationship. As we see here, you don't want to hear those words, "I know you not." I hope that would give us some sobriety and some clarity of mind of how do I live my life out before God. Well, it's relationship to God through Jesus Christ. And it's available to us if we'll just press in and seek Him. Read His Word. He will guide us. May God bless you as you consider these things.